Okay, there's certain topics of shiurim that when you hear the topic, it sounds very exciting, and sometimes when you come to the shiur, it's much less exciting because you start to think to yourself, wait a second, do I really need to know about all the halachic ramifications of whatever is DNA evidence or genetic screening or whatever it might be that sounds very appealing? Then there are certain topics that when you hear them, it sounds pretty boring. Like when my wife commented to me today, I got the email about the topic of tonight's shiur. It sounds like the most boring topic I could possibly imagine. Well, one, it's boring for her because she's a woman, and it's not nogea to her at all. But two, this is one of those topics that, although it may not sound exciting at first, is certainly nogea lemaisa to every single male. And it's nogea lemaisa to us every single time we shave. It's nogea lemaisa to us every single time we get a haircut. And it's also nogea lemaisa to us every time we encounter somebody who we know that perhaps doesn't follow the halachos properly in terms of peos harosh. So the topic of peos harosh is an interesting topic, and there's a lot of machlokas. And to be totally honest, from the outset, a lot of the details in terms of the size, the location, where, how much, a lot of that stuff is probably best transmitted through an oral tradition, a mimetic tradition, where people can see what their parents did and what the grandparents did, rather than through the written word. Because as Michael was just commenting before the shiur, a lot of times with the written word, you have no idea what it's talking about. It says from the forehead to the even behind the ears, and you're not really sure exactly what it refers to and which parts of the head it refers to. Also, what makes the mimetic tradition part difficult when it comes to Peos HaRosh is that there are so many different traditions. Is that you look around, if you know, take a random 10 Jews, you have probably 10 different forms of Peos. You have the Hasidic curly Peos, you have the Peos behind the ears, you have the big brisker Peos, the bushy Peos, you have the sideburns, the long sideburns, the wide sideburns, the thin sideburns. You have so many different kinds of Peos that people have, that it's hard to know what's halacha and what's not. And if you were to take a poll amongst most people who have peyos, they probably won't be able to tell you why they have what they have. And it's important to understand what the halacha requires minimally and maximally, meaning what the reason is that people go so far beyond what the halacha requires. So let's tonight we're probably not going to get through everything. As I started numbering my sources today, when I was before I printed out the packet, I realized that it's about 55 sources, so we're probably not going to be able to get through everything tonight, but we're going to try to at least get through the reason for the mitzvah of Peos HaRosh, which is unique in the sense that it may play a role in the halacha. Second, we're going to try to get through who's included in the yisur of cutting off the Peos HaRosh, of shaving off the Peos HaRosh, meaning if I go to a non-Jewish barber and it's the non-Jewish barber that cuts off my Peos. Let's say a person, you have this a lot of times, you have Jewish people, frum people, who like to get their head shaved. So if I go to a non-Jewish barber and he does it, he shaves my head, so am I in violation of the issur of cutting off the Peos HaRosh, of Lo Sakifu Pas Roshchem? What about if I have my wife do it for me? A woman's not chayiv in Peos, so maybe that would be okay. Can my wife do it for my children? So all of those halachos. And then finally, the most critical lemaisa that I'd like to get to tonight, hopefully still, is the location on the head where the peos are, meaning where you can't shave, where you can shave, how long they have to be, how wide they have to be, and all of those very practical halachos. And then, God willing, if we get through all of that, maybe next week we'll get to all the other chumras and interesting minhagim that you may see around, with why people have curly peos, why they have behind their ears, why they have very wide sideburns sometimes, and other assorted topics relating to that. So let's start at the beginning. The source in the Torah is, I didn't even put it in the Mar Mekomis, just put it on the top of the outline, Lo Sakifu Pas Roshchem. The Torah says that you're not allowed to round off the corners of your head. Now the word peah always means a corner. There's a mesechta in Mishnah, it's called peah, and that mesechta is not about your head, but it's about your field. And what's the chiyuv? That when you harvest from your field, you're supposed to leave a corner of your field unharvested, and that's supposed to be for the aniyim. But it's the peah, it's the end, the edge of the field. So the same is true with the peos harosh. The edges, the end of the hair on your head, is supposed to be left untouched, unshaven. If a person shaves it off, if a person rounds it off, and presumably it means in some way, like it used to be very popular in the early 90s, what they called the step haircut or the fade, where they used to have a lot of, it was very popular where everyone would shave the bottoms of their head and the sides, and they would leave hair on top. So that would be sakifu, rounding off, that would seem to be certainly a violation of rounding off the Peos HaRosh. So that's the source in the Torah. Why do we have such a mitzvah, such a strange mitzvah? I remember when I was in elementary school and we were learning this pasuk in Chumash. I don't remember when we learned Vayikra, but we must have learned it sometime, because I remember one of my rebbeim saying, and obviously this is going back before it became popular style. So he said, "Lo sakifu pas roshkum." Can you imagine how ridiculous that must look? If someone shaves off all the sides of their head and just leaves the top, it probably looks so silly, probably looks ridiculous. And it was about 5 years later that it became all the rage, and that every single person that you turn on TV, and 9 out of 10 people had that haircut. So these things go in styles and they go back and forth. What's the reason for this issue? So the Sefer HaChinuch is very straightforward. If you look at the Sefer HaChinuch in source number 2, Mishrashe HaMitzvah, Sefer HaChinuch always gives reasons for mitzvahs. He says, Kidei laharchik mimenu, lahashkiach mibeinenu, umikol ma'aseinu, kol inyan avodah zarah v'kol anaseh b'shvila. We try to avoid anything that has anything to do with avodah zarah. Uba has harim ufureshes bedavar sheyaslo ben adam begufasam mipnei shila maskeres avon tamid achar shehi davar kavua begud. And it's always best to have something physical on our bodies to remind us that we are not of the avodah zarah. And apparently, the people who used to, the idolaters, used to have haircuts like this, where they would cut or shave off the sides of their head and the hair on the sides of their head, and that was their part of their idolatrous practice. So, as a way of distinguishing ourselves from idolaters, from of the avodah zarah, we don't do that. We keep our peyos growing. And in fact, when you think of the picture of a Jew. So the way people picture a Jew, what a Jew looks like, is a Jew always has peyos. A Jew has some type of peyos. That's what a Jew looks like. That's not what an Oved Avodah Zarah looks like. The Oved Avodah Zarah would always shave off the side of their hair, and that was part of their practice. Now, what's interesting over here about this reason is that the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim suggests a very similar reason. And the Tor gets very upset by it. If you look at the Tor in source number 3, it says the Torah, HaKafas HaRosh V'Hashchasas HaZakan Gam Be'elu Kosev HaRambam Sha'asrim HaKosev Nesha Osim Kein Ovdei Kochavim. The Rambam says that the reason we have these halachos is because the Ovdei Kochavim, the idolaters, do this, and they get this kind of haircut, so we shouldn't do it. Adkan, that's what the Rambam says. Says the Tor, V'ze'eino, V'zeinu mefurish, and that's not at all explicit in the psukim. V'einu nutzrichim levakish tam lemitzvos. So I don't understand why we need to come up with reasons for the mitzvos. God gave us a mitzvah, we do the mitzvah. Ki mitzvos melachim aleinu. These are the mitzvos of the melach malchim lachim. It's the mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Af lo neida taman. Guess what? We have to do them even if we don't know the reason. It's a very strange place for the Torah to start picking on the Rambam for giving reasons for mitzvos. And what's he accusing the Rambam of? Is he suggesting that the Rambam holds that if you don't know the reason, you don't have to do the mitzvah? And that's why the Rambam is giving a reason for mitzvahs? Has he read Rambams? I mean, you don't have to be the greatest expert in Rambam to know that the Rambam doesn't hold that way. And the Beis Yosef, in fact, gets very upset by this this critique that the Torah throws at the Rambam. And Beis Yosef says, I don't understand. How could he suggest that the Rambam would hold that you don't have to do mitzvahs just because you don't know the reasons? It's natural and healthy and a good thing to find reasons for mitzvahs. Because you know what? When you find reasons for mitzvahs, a lot of times that motivates more learning. It motivates doing the mitzvahs with more energy and with more care. So it's a good thing to come up with reasons for mitzvahs, as long as we keep in mind, as the Rambam himself says, that the reasons we suggest for mitzvos are not the only reasons for the mitzvos, nor are they the authoritative reasons for the mitzvos. They just happen to be reasons for the mitzvos, but they're not the reasons for the mitzvos. And he says he doesn't have a problem with the Rambam. Does the Torah have a problem with every single page of Sefer HaChinuch? Every single page of Sefer HaChinuch, every mitzvah in Sefer HaChinuch, what does Sefer HaChinuch do almost every mitzvah? He says, Mishrashe HaMitzvah, that there are reasons for the mitzvah, and he tries to give reasons for the mitzvah. That's what the Sefer HaChinuch does. So the Torah has a problem with the whole idea of looking for reasons for mitzvahs. Yeah.
Maybe you could say that, given the reason given, that let's say today would not be no good.
Ah, so the question is, right, is the Torah accusing the Rambam of being Dorish Taima Dekra? Maybe the Torah is saying that, look, if people think that's the reason for the mitzvah, then people are going to, when the reason no longer applies, people are going to say that the mitzvah no longer applies. Good, so there are a number of different suggestions as to what exactly the Torah's problem with the Rambam is. The Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, in his Darkei Moshe on the bottom of the Torah, suggests that the Torah never meant to accuse the Rambam of rejecting irrational elements of our religion. There are irrational elements of our religion, irrational meaning that we can't rationalize them, and the Rambam obviously doesn't reject that. All he was doing was he was emphasizing that even when the Rambam's reason doesn't apply, the mitzvah still applies. So lemaisa, nowadays, where it's not the derech of Ovdei Avodah Zarah per se, or let's say if a person, let's say the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, for instance, they would leave the hair on the top of their head. So what if you shave your entire head? So then you'll say, well, then I don't look like an Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So maybe according to the Rambam, that should be okay then. So the Torah is just trying to say that it's not okay. That just because the Rambam gives a reason, it doesn't mean we have to be married to that reason. That reason is nice if it does it for you, if it works for you and makes you more excited about growing payas. So gesunta hate, that's wonderful. Enjoy your payas. But if it should not be viewed as the reason, which the Rambam himself would agree with. The Torah isn't really criticizing the Rambam in that sense from the Darkei Moshe's perspective. The Taz in Yerodeah, Siman Kuf Pei Aleph, right there on the Shulchan Aruch, the Taz writes that if the reason of the prohibition relates to Avodah Zarah, relates to idolatrous practice, then maybe in a situation that involves Shalom Malchus, in a situation that involves maintaining some sort of peace and good relationship with the government, we'd be allowed to compromise. Where do we ever get such an idea? So he says, if you look in Siman Kuf Ayin Ches, in Siman Kuf Ayin Beis, rather, in Yerodeah, where we talk about issues that relate to Bechluko Seyem Lo Seylechu, where we talk about issues that relate to following the ways of the idolaters, the Shulchan Aruch says that when it comes to cases of Shalom Malchus, we're allowed to compromise in those areas. So the Torah is trying to tell you, don't think just because the Rambam says that this relates to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that it fits into all the heterim that come along with B'chukos Seyem Lo Seylechu. It's not so. It doesn't fit into those heterim. The reason may be a good reason, the Rambam's reason may be a good reason, but it certainly doesn't fit into the general heterim that you'll find by B'chukos Seyem Lo Seylechu. Now what's interesting though is, the Beis Yosef points out, but the Rambam didn't make up this reason on his own. He said, all you have to do is read the Chumash and you'll see where the Rambam got this reason. What are the halachos surrounding, right around that area of Chumash, in Vayikra, Perek Yates, which by the way was this past week's Parsha, was Parsha's Kedoshim. What are the other halachos surrounding that area of Chumash, those few psukim? So what does it say? Pasuk says, Lo sinachshu v'lo sa'onenu. You shouldn't practice divination and believe in lucky times and things like that. These are clearly idolatrous practice. What comes right after? V'seret lo nefesh lo sitnu b'v'sarchem u'ksovas kaka lo sitnu b'chem. Not to put tattoo, not to tattoo yourself, or make cuts in your flesh. Also, idolatrous practices. So, right before and right after, the Torah is clearly talking about idolatrous practices. So the Rambam says, no, you put two and two together, and it's very clearly that Lo Sakifu Pas Roshchem also relates to Avodah Zarah, relates to idolatrous practices. That must be what it's about. Now, Rav Reuven Margolios, in his commentary, his notes to the Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim, which is, I must have quoted it in the past over here, a very fascinating sefer. Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim was a sefer written by one of the Balei HaTosfos, where he would go to sleep every night, have a dream where he would ask his Shilos up in Shemayim, and he would get answers from Shemayim, and then he would wake up in the morning and write down the answers to his questions. That's the way the Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim was written. Very interesting sefer. I always found it very intriguing that he didn't ask questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? He asked questions more like, how should the parshios be arranged in my tefillin? Or things that were more mundane that you would not think would be the most, if you had 10 questions up in Shemayim that you were able to ask, these wouldn't be the list of questions that you would probably ask. But this Balatosos, I don't know if he got to choose his questions or if it was just lucky when he fell asleep, whatever was on his mind that day, I'm not sure exactly how it worked. In fact, Rav Avadia Yosef has a tshuva in Yechav Adas where he discusses whether Shalos Tshuvos Min HaShemayim is necessarily authoritative. Meaning, do you have to assume, well, those are the answers he got from Shemayim, so therefore, that's what God holds, and who's going to argue with God? Or can we say, no, lo ba shemayim hi? And obviously the answer is, Lo b'shamayim, even if these are the answers directly from above, lo b'shamayim, we don't determine halacha based on what Shemayim tells us the halacha should be. The question in Rav Avdi Yosef says, however, it is a daya, meaning we don't just automatically disqualify. Lo b'shamayim, he doesn't mean that anything that comes from Shemayim is automatically wrong, right? It doesn't mean we always paskin against God. It means if what God says is illogical, we don't paskin like God. Assuming, obviously, the Torah we're stuck to. That we have to work with. But on the way of learning Torah, but we're talking within machlokas and within the Torah, within the confines of Torah, so we're not always going to paskin like the Beis Din Shel Milo or like the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, as the Rambam in that one famous example paskins against the Ribbono Shel Olam himself, based on the Gemara Mitzvah we discussed a few weeks ago on Shabbos. But anyway, so in the Shalos Shuvos Min HaShamayim was printed with a lengthy commentary and introduction by Rav Reuven Margolios. Rav Reuven Margolios was a very scholarly Talmud Chacham, very big bucky, and he published a little blue volume of Shalos Shuvos Min HaShamayim, probably without his commentary. It's about three pages. With his commentary, it's a thin blue volume. And in his commentary, Shalos Shuvos Min HaShamayim, he makes a comment on this idea that the Isra of Lo Sakifu, the Isra of cutting off your payas, relates to Avodah Zarah practices. Because he says, where are we most sensitive to practices of Avodah Zarah? We never like practices of Avodah Zarah, but where are we most hypersensitive that no Avodah Zarah practices should creep in? So the answer is in the Beis HaKnesses, in the Shul, or obviously Mikdash Ma'at, but obviously most importantly in the Beis HaMikdash itself. So we're most hypersensitive that Avodah Zarah practices should not come in to the Beis HaMikdash. He says, well, you know when you're allowed to cut off all the hair on your head? The Levi on his first day of Avodah, and the Nazir, after he finishes his Nazirus, shaves off all the hair of his head. And where's all this done? Right there in the Beis HaMikdash. He says, I don't understand. If it's about not being like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that's what the whole thing is about, then how could the only two exceptions to the rule be in the Mikdash itself? And he says he's not really so bothered by the Kasha. Because he says, what's the point? The point is that if we look like Ovdei Avodah Zarah, people will suspect us of being Ovdei Avodah Zarah and will feel like Ovdei Avodah Zarah. But if you look at the context in which the Levi and the Nazir, respectively, shave their heads, it is abundantly clear that they're doing it L'Shem Shemayim. The Levi on his first day of Avodah in the Mikdash, after that, he's never allowed to shave his head again. He's never allowed to cut off his payas again. It's his first day of Avodah in the Mikdash, so good, so that's when, and it's clearly being Mekadesh L'Shem Shemayim, so that's where he's allowed to do it. The Nazir, after observing in Azirus, and he throws the hair in the fire that burns the carbon, and that's obviously purely L'Shem Shemayim. So when it's very evident that it's L'Shem Shemayim, maybe we're a little less sensitive to it. But again, that's all working within the realm and the world of time of Dekra, which is not really generally not really something that we want to spend too much time in, because it doesn't really relate to halacha so much, except in Peyos it's going to be a little bit important as we go forward. Meaning if we can find ways around, a way that you can look like a guy but not technically violate the letters of the law of Peyos, so is that acceptable or not? So maybe the reasons for the mitzvah may help us or encourage us more in the direction of trying not to find shortcuts around the mitzvah of Peyos, right? Of trying to maintain a proper shear of Peyos, etc. So who's included in the Yisr? Let's move on now. Who's included in the Yisr of cutting off the pay? So the Gemara Makkah says, I'm not going to read the Gemara Makkah inside for the most part, just because, for time's sake. The Gemara Makkah says that there are two Yisurim. There's an Yisr to be a Makif and an Yisr to be a Nikaf. There's an Yisr to be the one to do the cutting and an Yisr to be the one sitting in the barber's chair getting your hair cut. Either one is Asr. The Gemara says, and you can get Malkus, both if you're the barber cutting someone else's payas off, and if you're the one sitting in the chair getting your own payas cut off. So ask the Gemara, wait a second, isn't it a lav shein bo maisa? To sit in the chair, you're not doing anything. What kind of Malkus? You don't get Malkus on a lav shein bo maisa. So the Gemara says, no, bimisayeya. The barber says, tilt your head this way, tilt your head that way. So you help him out a little bit. So since you're helping out a little bit, that itself counts as a maisa. And because that counts as a maisa, you get Malkus for helping out the barber in that way. That's how the Gemara says. Now, why does Misayeya count? The Ritva over there in the Sugya Makos Daf Chaf Aleph says that that he doesn't understand. Generally speaking, we assume misayeya in bo mamish. That when it comes to misayeya, we assume that it's not significant, just helping a little bit. So the Ritva gives a couple of answers why this misayeya is more important than other misayeya, why this is a more chashuva kind of misayeya. But be that as it may, the Gemara is abundantly clear that if you sit in the barber's chair and it's a guy giving you a haircut, you're still not allowed to ask him to shave off your payas. Because you are misayeya, you're going to get malchus for it. Question is, what does the Gemara mean by that? Because you're misayeya, you're going to get malchus for it. And therefore, if you're not misayeya, let's say you sit there and the guy says, like my kids do when they go get a haircut, and the barber says, move your head, and they don't budge. Right? And the barber says, move it the other way, and they move it the opposite direction of the barber. They just make it as difficult and as challenging as possible to give him a haircut. They earn their tip, right? So in that case, if I go to the barber and I decide to act like one of my children, as embarrassing as it might be, to do that, am I then allowed to have him shave my payas off? I'm not misayeya. I'm not misayeya in any way. He's just shaving my payas off. I'm just sitting there. Would that be okay? So it seems very clear from most Rishonim, from the large majority of Rishonim, that, and Tosa says this beferish, by the way, in today's daf. Daf Yomi coincidence, but Metzia Daf Yiram and Beis, we didn't quite get to the Tosas this morning. We'll get to it tomorrow morning, Be'ez Hashem, in a few hours from now. But in Metzia Daf Yiram and Beis, Tosas points out that even though without Misayeya you don't get Malkus, because it's a Lav Shein Bo Maisa, if you're not Misayeya, if you don't do anything to help the barber cut your payas off, but it's still Aser. It's still Aser Midaraisa. Right, so it would still be included in the Yisr. Now, that's not agreed upon by everybody. The Maram Shik has a beautiful Sefer. Maram Shik, when you buy a set of Maram Shik, it comes in three volumes. So, three big volumes. Two of the volumes are Shalos Teshuvos, as you would expect, right, on the four Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. And then one volume is Maram Shik al Taryag Mitzvos. It's a Minchas Chinuch type of Sefer, where he has nice little lumdish pieces on each of the mitzvos. Not as long as Minchas Chinuch, but a very, very beautiful Sefer. So in the Maram Shik, on the mitzvos, on mitzvah Resh Nun Beis, Maram Shik writes that in the view of the Rambam, there's no Isra at all to sit there getting a haircut, getting your payah shaved off, if you're not a Misayeya. As long as you don't accommodate the barber, as long as you don't move, then there's no Isra at all. And the Maram Shik says, based on that, we can explain an odd Gemara in Maseches Nazir. The Gemara Maseches Nazir tells a story, a very strange story, of Rav Huna, who was it? Rav Huna and someone else. And Rav Huna's children, apparently, would walk around without payas. And one of the other Amoraim said, I don't understand, how can your children not have payas? How is that possible? So Rav Huna said, oh, it's not me that does it, it's my wife. My wife gives the haircuts in the family. Right? So the Gemara says over there, that I'm just trying to find the Gemara, that since she gives the haircuts, so she's not a Bar Chiyuva, and therefore it's okay. So the Gemara says that Amora cursed Rav Huna, that his children, that Chova Tikparinu Lebaneha, that the woman who gave her children such haircuts should have to bury her own children. And the Gemara says, Kol Yomit Ravad Bar Ava Lo Ikayim Zaru L'Rav Huna. It was Ravad Bar Ava who gave that curse, and as long as Ravad Bar Ava lived, Rav Huna's children never lived. Rav Huna couldn't have children who survived. So it's pretty harsh, very strange, but extremely harsh Gemara, where the Gemara seems to be saying that, according to Ravad Bar Ava, at least it was a terrible iser for this woman to give a haircut where she cuts off the payas of her children. But Rav Huna apparently held that it was okay, that it was mutter. Now, why did Rav Huna hold its mutter? So you think, well, it's very simple why Rav Huna holds its mutter. Woman's not chayiv in payas. The kid is certainly not chayiv in payas. So what's the Isser? Who's violating any Isser? Frek the Maram Shiklo, a very sharp kasha. The Gemara in Yevamah stuff, Kuf Yudalid, and we've discussed it numerous times in the past when we're talking about kashas for children and things of that nature. The Gemara says that although a child is not a bar chiyuva in mitzvos, you're not allowed to feed a child Isser. Right? A child, katan ochel nevelos, ein bezim mitzuvah nafrisho. If a katan is eating non-kosher food, Bezin doesn't have to stop him. But if you find non-kosher food, you can't say, here, kid, let me feed you this. You're not allowed to give a kid, you're not allowed to give a child an Isser. Now, I said Beis Din, I didn't say the parents. Parents have a mitzvah of chinuch. That's a separate issue. Parents always have to be careful with their children. But we're talking about Stam. A gadol, the ain Beis Din mitzvah mafrisho, you don't have to stop a child from doing an Isser, but there is an Isser, and it's an Isser da'oraisa, lo sachileim, there's an Isser da'oraisa to give children an Isser. To force feed a child an Isser, or to provide a child with an Isser. So Fretman Ram Shik, a very sharp kasha. I understand Rav Huna holds that the child's not going to be chayiv for the mother and the child are not going to be chayiv when the mother gives the child a haircut and cuts off his payas. Right? I understand that to some extent, but because she's not chayiv and he's not chayiv, but aren't you not allowed to give an Isser to a child? And if there's an Isser to sit in that chair and get your payas cut off, for an adult to sit in a chair and get his payas cut off, aren't you, in effect, giving an Isser to a child by having the child sit in the chair and getting his payas cut off? So it says Maram Shik, but if you hold like the Rambam, that as long as you're not misayaya, as long as you don't move, then you're not doing any Isser, then even an adult sitting there, if he wasn't moving, wouldn't be getting any Isser, as if he wasn't tilting his head to aid the barber in the haircut, he wouldn't be violating any Isser, so then the child's not violating any Isser either. Then there's no Isser of feeding the child the Isser, of providing the child the Isser, as long as the mother's careful not to ask the child to move his head. Now the child might move his head in one direction or the other, but then I'm not, and that would be Isser, but I'm not feeding the child the Isser, then the child's just doing it on his own. As long as I don't ask the child to move his head, then I'm okay. So Rav Shik says, you see, that Gemara is a riot of the Rambam. A little bit of lundus. That Gemara is a riot of the Rambam. That's what the Rav Shik wants to suggest. But anyway, be that as it may, it seems to be that according to Rav Rishonim, there's an issue even just to sit in the barber chair and allow them to cut your payas off. At the very least, it would seem to be Lifnei'iver, because if the barber's a Jew, certainly. Right, if you go to Rubens on West Broadway, and the barber, which a lot of people seem to go to, and the barber is a Jew, or a lot of these barbershops. I went to a barbershop near Dunkin' Donuts in Valley Stream. I thought there was no chance it would be Jews. And they all start speaking Hebrew to me, and there's a yeah. So there are a lot of Jewish barbers around. So you go into these barbershops, and even if they don't look Jewish, a lot of times as soon as they see the yarmulke on your head, it will become evident that they are Jewish. So in a lot of these places, not only if I were to sit there and do nothing, even if you were to assume that there's no Isser for me to sit there and do nothing and not move and let them shave my payas off, but it would be Isser Mishum Lefneiver at the very least. I'm aiding him in doing the Isser of being makif my hair. Now, you'll say, well, he could do it without me. He could be makif someone else's hair. And he probably does all day. It's probably half the haircuts he gives are probably an Isser Daraisa. Yeah, but he couldn't be makif my hair without me. He could have maybe, he'll still be mock of other people's, but the Isser of my hair, that he can't do without me. So maybe it's Lifnei'iver. Not getting into the issue of Lifnei'iver by people who do Averos Keseder, the people who aren't, but okay, but that's at least an issue of Lifnei'iver. There's a discussion Darkei Tshuva has in Kuf Pei Aleph, Sifkat and Ches, where he says that you're not allowed to, it's certainly also to sit there in the chair getting the haircut. Look, he's not sure if it's a lav just without the onish of Malkus, or if it's just a general Isser of Bichukosayim Lo Seilechu to get such a haircut. In fact, he has a shayla. He was asked about a case, Darkei Tshuva, not he was asked, he quotes one of the poskim, who was asked, the way Darkei Tshuva is written, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Sefer, the Darkei Tshuva is a four-volume set on Yerodeya. It's more volumes, but it comes in four bound volumes. Some of them have more than one in each sefer. But it's essentially a four-volume set on Yerodeya, where he collected, it was the Munkacher, who collected all of the poskim from the Shulchan Aruch until his time that discussed each halacha. And just it's an encyclopedic type of work on all of the shalos and tshuvas and all the different poskim that discussed each halacha in Yerodeya. But the way he did it, Rav Shechter once told us that the way he put the Sefer together was he didn't write the whole thing himself. He had a whole bunch of Talmidim in the yeshiva, and he divided it up. And he gave this bachur that simin and that bachur that simin. So that's why Rav Shechter said you'll see that the quality is wildly inconsistent from one simin to the next. Because there's a better bachur in yeshiva, and there's not such a great bachur in yeshiva. So sometimes it's very high quality, and sometimes it's not so high quality. But either way, the Darkei Tshuva quotes a shayla, I forget who was asked of, someone had a medical condition where they were losing, hair was falling out of odd spots. It wasn't a natural balding process. They were losing hair in strange spots on their head, and the doctors had said that the only way to grow it back, I don't know if any doctors could figure out what condition this was, but the doctors had said that the only way to grow it back was for him to shave his head every couple of weeks, to shave it entirely every couple of weeks, then put some sort of ointment on it, and like a chia pet, and then he'll grow, the hair will grow from there, and then he'll be okay, right? That was the eitzah that he got from the doctors, and he said that it would be very embarrassing for him to continue to have hair like this. That would be much easier for him to just do that. He would be much happier. So he asked the shaila based on kavod abrios. Kavod abrios, in order that I should not be embarrassed to walk around publicly, so should I be able to go through this treatment, which will involve shaving my head? So Dr. Tshuva said that the response was that it's aser. Why? The Gemara says, kavod abrios, Gemara in Brachos says, kavod abrios is docha lo sase shebatorah. That kavod abrios overpowers a lo sase, right? So you think, okay, well, here you go. But the Gemara in Brachos is very clear that the only lo sase kavod abrios overpowers is the lo sase of lo sasur, the lo sase of not violating what the rabbanim tell you. So essentially, kavod abrios overpowers not isurim daraisa, but isurim drabanan. It says the Darkei Tshuva, when you sit there getting your head shaved, even if you're not moving a limb, you're not doing anything, when you sit there getting your head shaved, it's you're not going to get malchus if you don't move, because it's lav shema maisa, but it's still an isur daraisa. And this is the rice that beats out kavod abrios. Now he said, if it's a health issue, if it's a sakana issue, that's a different story. But if it's purely a dignity issue, this is an important source, because a lot of times when people shave their heads, it's because they're embarrassed to walk around looking with whatever their hairline really looks like. So they just prefer to just shave their head. And some people are less sensitive than others, but some very sensitive people will say, you know, it's just embarrassing for me. I don't like to walk around that way. So that's a kavod abrios issue for them. So if you're going to accept this Darkei Tshuva, which there's no reason not to, based on Tulsus and tomorrow's daf, it's an Issa Daraisa, even if you sit in the chair and you don't move, Kavod Abrios is not Docha, an Issa Daraisa. So you have a real problem. Just moving along over here, when it comes to a female barber, Shulchan Aruch says a woman is not allowed to cut a man's payas off or even a child's payas off. Shulchan Aruch obviously paskening that based on that Gemara, right, that Rav Huna may have held it was mutter for his wife to cut the child's payas off, but guess what? His children didn't survive because Rav Ad Barava held otherwise. So probably better be on the safe side and go with Rav Ad Barava on that and have our children live and not have the women cut the children's payas off. Rabbi Kiva Eger, though, suggests that what's the isser of a woman cutting a man's payas off? The Isser is Lufneiver, that she has no Isser. There's no Isser for her to cut payas off. The Isser is on him, that she's causing him to be a Nikav. She's causing him to violate the Isser of getting his payas cut off. Right? That's the whole Isser, really, Rabbi Kivega writes. So think about it for a second. What if a man says, I'm going to shave my head? A man comes home and tells his wife, I want to shave all the hair off my head. I want to cut off all my payas. So he says, if you think about it, the wife, if she wants to help the husband, should immediately grab a shaver and she should do it for him and tell him not to move. Why? Because then, or even if he does move, why? Because the whole issur was lifnei'iver for her, that she's going to be causing him to do the issur. Now, if he does it himself, he's going to be doing two issurim daraisa. He's going to be the makif and the nikaf. He's going to be the one doing the action of the shaving and the one getting shaved. So if she lets him do it himself, he's going to be violating two issurim daraisa. If she gets up and does it for him, then he'll only be violating one Isser Daraisa. So says Rabbi Kiveger, you can't call that Misayel de Over Avera, that she's helping him do an Isser. Adraba, she's saving him from an Isser by helping him do a smaller Isser, which is always a very interesting concept, right? And it's a much larger shear than we have time for right now. But at what point can you say, I'd rather help the person do a smaller Isser rather than the person violate a larger Isser? Avad Yosef has a tshuva in Yichav Das about a restaurant, a fleshig restaurant, staying open during the 9 days. Right, a fleshig restaurant staying open during 9 days. What's the issue? So on the one hand, the minhag is, or shvur shechal bo, let's say for svadim. So on the one hand, you have a problem of eating meat during the 9 days. So I'm aiding the people in doing the isser of eating meat during the 9 days. On the other hand, though, what if I close my doors of my restaurant in the middle of Tel Aviv or something? All the kosher restaurants in Tel Aviv shut down. So what, you think all business meetings are going to end in Tel Aviv? You think no one's going to go out to eat during the 9 days? They certainly will. And they'll go to the trefa restaurants. And they've been eating non-kosher. So you have this relative lifnei'iver to deal with. If I leave them to their own devices, they're going to violate a much worse isser. Maybe it's better for me to help them violate the lesser isser so that they don't come to violate the worse isser. One of my talmidim once asked me that he was he knew a girl who was a waitress in one of the local eateries, one of the local kosher stores, and she wanted to know if she was allowed to work on one of the fast days, Asar B'Teves or something. Right? So again, similar issue. Maybe some of the people who were eating in that store would just eat in another store that maybe doesn't have a good hashgacha or something of that nature, and instead they're eating on a fast day. So okay, but again, that's well beyond our topic. Now the Rama writes that a non-Jew is allowed to cut a child's payas off. So if you really like the haircut of not having, you really like the old step haircut for your children, and you think it would look really great, and the kids in yeshiva won't make fun of them, and it's going to be wonderful for them socially, so the Rama says that you can have a non-Jew, bring them to a non-Jewish barber, have the non-Jew cut the kid's payas off. Why? Because there's no mitzvah on the barber, there's no mitzvah on the kid yet, and that's it. Pesachei Tshuva over says, whoa, wait a second, not so fast. It says Pesachei Tshuva, wait a second. What's the case over here? If the child goes to the barber on his own, okay, fine, that's one thing. No issur is violated. But if a child, meaning, after all, like we said before, if a child starts eating a cheeseburger on his own, ein bezin mitzuvan lafrisho, bezin doesn't have to stop him. Right? There's no issur there. But if the child goes with the parent, and the parent tells the barber, cut the child's payas off, so anything that the parent is asur to do, it's also to do Amir La'akum, to ask a guy to do for you. So if the guy is just doing the shlichus of the parent, so then it's just as bad. It's still going to be Asr. So Pesachei Tshuva says the Rama over here is Tzaruch Iyun Gadol, really needs a lot of analysis, how the Rama can suggest such a thing. Okay, that's all just some of the basic background. Yeah.
So throughout the share, you're referring to shaving your head or step haircut.
Mm-hmm.
How is that sakif upas? You're not supposed to round it off. That means that you're not supposed to cut your payas where your head is round. But if you totally shave your head...
So, okay, so that's the next perfect segue, right? Where on the head are the payas? What are you not allowed to do? So the Gemara Maseches Nazir, I would have said like you said, right? That if you're totally shaving your head, that it's not a problem with Losakifu, because it doesn't sound that that's called rounding it off. You're just shaving your head. The Gemara Maseches Nazir, one second, the Gemara Maseches Nazir, though, says that Hakafas Kolarosh Shmei Hakafa, that when you shave your entire head, that is called Hakafas HaRosh. The Gemara says it. Now why? What's the Svara? So the Svara I would suggest is as follows. Let's say I take a razor, let's use razor just to make for sure that it's an Isser, and I shave off my left payah, right? I shave off the payah on the left side of my head. I'm only beginning, I'm going to shave off the rest of my hair also. I only got to the left payah so far. Did I violate an Isser? Did I not violate an Isser? So you're going to tell me, well, I plan on cutting off the rest of the head, so I didn't violate an Isser. What do you mean? I just cut off my payah. So of course I violated an Isser. So my guess is maybe that's the Svara, that you still can't look at the Maisa of cutting off the payas and say, well, that's not being makif because we only look when you're done getting your haircut. Why would you? Every Maisa Isser, you look at the Maisa Isser. What do you mean you only look when you're done getting the haircut? And maybe in 2 weeks from now I'll finish my haircut? No, you look at the Maisa itself. The only problem with that is, what if I start on top, right, and then work my way down to the sides? Then
what,
yeah.
If you only do one side?
No, it's an Isser on each side. Each side you do. Cutting each payah is an Isser. That's also a separate. Yeah. It's what the Gemara says. Whatever svaras we give, the Gemara says that's included in the Isser. That Hakafas Kol HaRosh is called Hakafa. So whichever svara we want to give, it seems that shaving the entire head is a problem. Now, this is a very tricky issue, right? It's something that you have to be very, very careful with, because if you just go through the Rolodex in your mind of people that you know, I was talking to different Rabbanim today, Rav David Willig always asks me on Tuesdays, no, what's your shiur going to be on tonight? So I told him I'm going to be talking about payas. He says, what's there to talk about payas? You know, it's very difficult to get the exact spots and things like that. And I said, you know, the most practical issue is that there are a lot of from Jews who like to shave their heads. And you have to, you know, it's a real issue. So he said, you know what, come to think of it, I'm starting a chavrusa with a guy soon who likes to shave his head, and I know another guy. And off the top of his head, he thought of three guys that he knows. So I never thought to say anything to them. Maybe I should. I was talking to another Rav that I speak to frequently, who also said, you know, there's a guy in my shul, and he shaved his head, I don't know. Should I say something? Should I not say something? So I'll tell you, Meister Shahaya Kachaya. I don't think he would mind me telling the story, but I'm not going to say the name anyway. But a fellow that shaves his head, for months, I wasn't sure, should I say something, should I not say something? So I went over to him and I said something. And I said, you know, maybe we should look into whether it's an Isser or not. And he said, you could look into it and get back to me. Let me know. It was right before Lag BaOmer. So he said, look into it and get back to me. Look into the issues. Find out if it's an Isser or if it's not an Isser. I said, you know, for sure to be safe, if you get a number two haircut, then it's for sure okay. He said, number two, that's when I get a haircut. That's not, you know, that's not the number. What do you mean? That's the, so he wasn't so willing to be mekabel that. So I looked into the issue and I came up with a whole series of kulas. By combining a whole bunch of different shitos, and I gave him all the marmakomos. They have the shitos of Rambam and the Shach and the Lashon and the Bir Halacha. I gave him a whole series of marmakomos, and I handed it to him on Lag BaOmer morning. I said, "You can't shave it all off. You can't get a zero. You get a one, and I think there's a lot of room to be makil." Now, I wasn't comfortable. I'm not comfortable with one. I think two is best. But you get a one, and there's a lot of room to be makil based on all these shitos. And I thought the person wasn't so happy with me. He was a little bit insulted that I came over to him and said that. And, you know, I would be too if someone came over and started telling me that I was doing something wrong. So, you know, it's a very tough mitzvah, the mitzvah of Hochiach Tochiach, right? The mitzvah of giving someone Musar. It's a very hard mitzvah. So it was Lag BaOmer, as I mentioned. I gave him those Mar Makomos in Shul in the morning. Then I was in Yeshiva. We went on our Lag BaOmer trip. Right as we're arriving to the baseball field, I get a message from him on my telephone, or he calls me and he says, Rabbi Leibowitz, I have to tell you, I owe you a million brachos. Thank you so much. I said, for what? And he said, Maisa Shalya Kachaya. Right after davening this morning, I went to the barber. And the barber shop, Lag BaOmer morning, was packed. Right? Tons of people there, everyone waiting for a haircut. And it was a Jewish barber shop, Jewish neighborhood, obviously. And he told the barber to give him a one. Based on what I told him, he was fairly comfortable with a one, rather than getting a zero where he was just going to shave all of his payas off. And he said after he got up from his haircut, a man sitting in the barber shop gets up and starts yelling at him and berating him in front of everybody. How could you do that? You're cutting off your payas. You're violating Yisurim Daraisa. It's Lifnei Iver on the barber. He's violating Yisurim Daraisa. And he said, I calmly said to him, there's actually a Shita Sarambam that without a razor it's okay, and there's a Lashon the Shach and a Lashon the Bir Halacha. And by the way, I have Mar Makomos right here. If you'd like to look into it, you could see exactly what I'm being sumich on. And he said, you know, had you not said anything to me, I would have just been completely humiliated. The guy would have berated me in public. I would have had nothing to answer back. But because, so sometimes that's my Hochech Tochiach story, because it's a double Hochech Tochiach story. First of all, on the proper way to do tocha, and it's also a good demonstration of the improper way to be mochiach somebody, to get up in the middle of a barbershop and scream at a person you don't know that he's violating Yisurim Daraisa and that he's a terrible human being. So that's obviously an ineffective way of doing tocha. But the mitzvah done in its proper way perhaps sometimes can yield very positive results. So what was I based on? Why did I say that a one is okay? Certainly in this situation. So it's Mirz Hashem, next week we'll get a full explanation, but let's at least get started over here. First of all, sometimes, I remember a few years ago in yeshiva, unfortunately one of our talmidim was very ill. One of our talmidim had cancer, and he was going through chemo, and he lost all of his hair. And some of his friends, which is apparently a very nice gesture that is done commonly when kids, especially teenagers, unfortunately suffer from cancer, a number of his friends shaved their heads in solidarity with him, that he shouldn't feel weird coming into school without any hair in his head. They all wanted to shave their heads as well. And I remember a whole bunch of our Baruch Hashem, the Talmud is in remission, he's doing much better now, he's getting married soon, but a whole bunch of the boys shaved their heads. And we went over to the first group that shaved their heads, and we said, you know, it's a very nice idea, it's a very nice thing that you did for your friend, but you should just be aware, it's also an Isur Daraisa. Right? You were makav pas Rosh Hashem, you cut off your payas, and you're not really allowed to do that. So one of the frumer boys decided, you know, without asking any further questions, that he was going to shave his head but leave his payas. But he didn't know what a paya is. So where did he leave? He left right alongside the ears over here. And he shaved off all of the way, all above his ears and all around. So is that okay? Meaning, yes, this is certainly part of the payas. But are you allowed to shave everything but right here? But right by, as you know, we always say the bone, and we'll see if that actually has any significance in halacha. You know, I was always taught as a young child, you go to the barber and say, only cut until the bone. Right? I don't know if that, we'll discover whether, or discuss, God willing, next week, whether that really means anything in halacha. But the pay certainly extend up beyond that also. Question is, how high? So Rav Belsky has a sefer that came out recently of an English book, of a bunch of Rav Belsky's psukim. It's not really very thorough in terms of determining what Rebelsky's, all his marmakomos, but it's at least a good Rashi prakam of what he holds about a number of issues. So I was going to show you on my head right now, but the lights just went out. So Rebelsky has two deos about what the highest point is. So he said where the high point of payas is. So Rebelsky says one possible opinion is that the high point of payas is, and with this we'll close, is that it goes from right above the high point of the ear, the hairline, right on top of the ear, and curving upward till where the hairline goes in on the top of your head. So essentially from here to here, and anything below that is your payas. And then he said he heard that from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And he said there are other people that have a Masora that a little bit further down, as it starts to angle in toward the sideburns, is the point that it starts, and it only goes until right here, until right next to where the ear is connected to your head. And that's a very tiny area that would be included in the payas. The kid almost got it right, according to that shita. Problem is, in the Sefer, he doesn't really give marmakomos for anything that he says, so I'm not really sure what the marmakomos are, but those are the 2 days. God willing, next week we'll discuss all of the really relevant halachas relating to payas and the various minhagim.